Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando.
Coloradans shouldn't have to fear the threat of robbery or gun violence.
Colorado's Democratic Governor Jared Polis says he signed four gun control bills into law. KCNC-TV's Kennedy Cook on what the laws do.
Increase the minimum age to purchase a firearm from 18 to 21. And the fourth deals with the red flag law, which allows a judge to temporarily remove someone's gun if the person possesses a risk to themselves or others.
More bad weather is expected in parts of Texas that are still cleaning up from yesterday's storms. Right now it's sunny in Crockett, which is about 120 miles north of Houston. But there's a river flood warning after yesterday's storms. Liza Clark lives there.
We had flash flooding all through town, and there was water that was mid-car deep, and there were several rescues that had to be made.
And more severe storms are expected there tonight. At least 25 people are reported killed in the latest round of Russian airstrikes in Ukraine. One attack hit an apartment building and killed three people in Uman near the front line. CBS's Charlie Dagg.
This is what happens. They go off course. They're notoriously unreliable. These are guided munitions, and they hit residential areas, and civilians pay the price.
The State Department says it's deeply disappointed by Russia's rejection of a request to visit Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich in prison. CBS's Christopher Cruz is in Washington.
State Department spokesman Vedant Patel today.
We also are going to continue to call for Evan's release and the release of Paul Whelan. This is something that we have raised with the Russians directly. The secretary has raised with his counterpart directly.
The 31-year-old journalist was detained by Russian security agents in March on espionage charges. The U.S. had asked to visit him in early May.
The government's monthly report says we may be making more, but we're spending less. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The personal income and spending report for March does show that consumers are losing steam as high inflation and high interest rates eat into incomes.
Incomes were up 0.3% month over month, but spending was flat. Retired Navy Admiral with a career in cybersecurity has been nominated for GM's board. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert has more on why.
The nomination of retired Vice Admiral Jan Tighe fits in with GM's move to electric and software-defined vehicles. Much of her 38-year Navy career focused on cyber warfare and cybersecurity. Tighe says she's excited to join GM at an historic time of transformation at the company.
Wall Street at the close, the Dow gained 273 points and the Nasdaq was up 84. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. Two railway cars ended up in the Mississippi River after a freight train derailed on Thursday. It happened near DeSoto in Crawford County. The cars floated downstream but got stuck along the shore after passing under the Wisconsin Highway 82 bridge. Officials say the batteries on board are contained and don't pose a threat to the public. At least four employees were hurt. The cause is under investigation. A new proposal looking for a co-sponsor in the Wisconsin legislature would allow victims of child sexual abuse to file civil suits until the age of 45 instead of capping the age at 35. The Child Victims Act, however, does not allow those over 45 to file suit, something that victims and advocates have been requesting for years. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mob Craft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery, where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mob Craft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room, featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mob Craft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
Tens of thousands of Wisconsinites live with a debilitating chronic disease called lupus. Build awareness and raise funds by challenging your friends and family to register today for the 21st annual Walk to End Lupus, Now Milwaukee. The walk will take place on the morning of May 13th at beautiful Hoyt Park in Wauwatosa. Adult registration is just $30 and children under 15 are $20. Prices will increase after May 10th, so make sure you sign up now. To pre-register, go to lupuswi.org or call 414-443-6400.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Friday High Day, working for the weekend edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I'm very glad to see you're still with us. Like, immediately before we went on the air, you jumped out of your chair. You walked out of frame like, I quit this job.
Oh, I'm here, man. I'm here. It's Friday. Made it this far, man. I can make it a couple more hours with you, Evan, working the board so hard. Thank you, man. Of course, our fair audience. Happy Friday, everyone.
You know, we air the grievances around here on Fridays, and I was concerned you were airing yours in a tangible way. And if anybody's sneaking out early today, Dom, it's me.
Oh, hell no. Are you kidding me? You just got here, Crudy.
Well, you were on vacation last week, dude, but yeah, you're right. But I do have concert tickets tonight, like fourth concert this month, dude.
Look,
it's not even
Summerfest.
It's not even Summerfest. Your time will come, Dom.
It will. It will.
Your time will come. Before we get to the politics, and I got some good headlines for the people here in the great state of Wisconsin, all across the nation, Dom. And, you know, we're going to have some fun with the people, but let me ask you. Concerts, best one you've been to this year or recently, you know, 12 months-ish. You set the time frame criteria.
What am I gonna see? I'm gonna think about that. I was thinking like all time favorite concerts. Certainly Pearl Jam opening up for Tom Petty at Summerfest. No question. That was
I was with you there? I mean, I've been to Tom Petty.
That particular one. No, I've been to Steph and I.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say my favorite vocalist in a concert, it's gotta be Eddie Vedder.
Yeah,
he's the best. The guy. Yeah. Do you know he like bikes in a steam room to work on the vocal cords to make him stronger, to get him ready for the rigors of the concert? And I recall we were together at a Pearl Jam concert, and Alpine Valley, I believe, Bob, we got a limo, went bar hopping. We're right in front of the speakers.
Sounds right.
It does sound right. I remember I got a bit of, let's just say, a little headache that day. A little too much in and out of the air conditioner, I suspect.
Sure. That's what it was.
That and the tower speakers and the Eddie Vedder. But I recall, you know, before he did the encore, you could only see him on the screen in a silhouette. He took a deep draw and
I was burning one, yeah.
What may have been a marijuana cigarette. May have been.
Possibly. Who knows?
Possibly. So anyways, love to hear from the audience today. Got lots of time for you, making time for you on a Friday. At least I'm ain't mailing it in, but you could. 844 967-2789. I'd love, before we get too serious about the politics, I'd love to hear about the greatest concert you ever attended. Could be the band, could have been the experience, could have been the girl or the boy you were with.
Could have been the company, right?
You know what I perceive to be the best concert I've been to, at least most memorable. Foo Fighters
and Chili
Red
Peppers.
Hot Chili Peppers, and we were together on that one. But the fact that
that was Californication tour, if I recall, that was a while ago.
The fact that Dave Grohl's, we had really good seats, and the fact that Dave Grohl's walked out on the seat backs and sang to us right there, man. Foo Fighters lead singer's right there, we're on the big screen with the guy, and of course the music rocked and the show rocked, and there was literally lightning and thunder. We were surrounded by lightning storms. That was a fun concert, though.
The last concert I think I actually went to with Steph was Foo, right after COVID wrapped up.
Pfizer Forum, right?
Yeah. So good. And they're coming around again, man. I can't wait. The Harley 120?
Oh, yeah.
Foo Fighters tickets, come in. Right? They're one of the headliners. And then the next day is, I believe, Green Day also coming around again.
So we also saw Green Day together. But that was a lackluster show, mostly because we missed most of the beer sales.
Yeah, that was like in Madison, right? And
they saw
beer out in the one area. You had like a beer consuming area, and you couldn't like take your drink into the
concert.
Was that what it was? That was weird.
It's like you could only drink in the Blue Line Club, like the hockey Blue Line Club. They were selling beer or something. But
I went to go see Joan Jett with Fancy Brian not so long ago. I saw her twice, I think, recently. Joan Jett always rocks. She's coming around again too.
Excellent. I'm seeing Blues Travelers tonight up at the Crystal Grant Ballroom, a intimate setting. Got a finer hotel room at the La Quinta and everything.
Yeah. Ooh, all right.
The good La Quinta.
Got a hot tub in the room, baby.
I don't know about all that.
Like the old days.
I don't know about the hot tub, man. You're thinking of another guy who might be splurging. Dom, let's jump into the headlines. I feel like we're losing the audience already. I could literally feel them reaching for their knobs and saying, get the politics, you boys. Well, Dom, here's a headline, an editorial at the Cap Times caught my attention earlier today. If Republicans cared about free speech, they'd listen to UW students. Well, the oxymoronic part, of course, is they don't care about free speech. Not yours.
Nah, they care about theirs.
Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature want us to believe there's a freedom of speech crisis on Wisconsin campuses. According to their elaborate fantasy, the University of Wisconsin system is an authoritarian hellscape where woke mobs silence any form of dissent from the worldview of liberal professors and politically correct administrators. There's just one problem with this dystopian fantasy that our Republican friends are perpetuating. It neglects the reality on campuses across the state. Anyone who pays attention to the discourse on the state's colleges and universities know the differences of opinions are frequently aired. We used to do it all the time at college, didn't we, Dom?
You sure did.
Students and faculty members of varying political and ideological stripes are heard on a wide range of issues, and event planners welcoming right-wing commentators such as Matt Walsh, who appeared on the UW campus last fall. Before the controversial author of books such as The Unholy Trinity, Blocking the Left's Assault on Life, Marriage, and Gender arrived on campus, there was spirited protest by students who objected to the speaker's anti-trans views. There were also some graffiti incidents that had been investigated by the UW police. But Walsh wasn't prevented from screening his film, What is a Woman? He delivered extended remarks and participated in a lengthy question-and-answer session before heading on to his next appearance on the lucrative campus lecture tour. More recently, the College Republicans of UW-Madison hosted right-wing Supreme Court candidate Daniel Kelly spring election. Kelly was able to rant and rave to his heart's content, as have other conservatives. Indeed, after the College Republicans hosted a joint appearance by Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels and Attorney General candidate Eric Toney shortly before last fall's elections, College Republican President Joe Kranz told the Daily Cardinal he was thankful for the space to share ideas with the candidates. And we're not going to suggest that the discourse on campus is as civil and welcoming as it should be for students and faculty on the right or the left. There's plenty of work to be done to assure that sincere differences of opinion are aired, that robust debate is encouraged, and that students feel free to speak up and out in the classroom like Dom always used to do late at night when he had control of the remote control. And you just wouldn't give it up, Dom. It's the only reason I ever became your friend, because literally you controlled the media.
And the weed. Crudy, the editorial at the Cap Time continues, but it's overreach to suggest that cancel culture has silenced diverse viewpoints or the free, willing discussion of them on the Madison campus or other campuses across the state where conservative speakers and candidates regularly appear and where student groups are organized on a spectrum that ranges from libertarian to socialist. Yet last week, the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities held an informational hearing on the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus at which Republican members of the committee echoed their usual complaints. Unfortunately for the perpetually offended Republicans, they revealed themselves and the choices they made to structure the hearing as an invitation-only discussion among political allies rather than a serious conversation about circumstances on Wisconsin campuses.
A closed-door conversation about free speech.
Invite only. It's pretty standard for Republicans. The hearing on, quote, how the lack of free speech and intellectual diversity affects the quality of public education was closed to the public, as Crudy said, which got the notice of State Senator Jeff Smith, a Democrat who represents the Eau Claire campus. A quote from Smith. Having speakers by invitation only for a free speech hearing says all you need to know about the committee's intentions. Students are the individuals most directly impacted by free speech rights at UW institutions. Hearing their voices should be a priority in addressing obstacles to free speech on campus. Decrying the Republican gambit of sweeping into one of the largest of the state's campuses and then closing the doors to a student, Smith said, students deserve a direct say when it comes to the issues that matter to them. The narrow focus of the hearings also concerned State Rep. Jody Emerson, a Democrat from Eau Claire, who serves as the ranking member on the Committee on Colleges and Universities. Emerson expressed concerns about the neglect of the voices of marginalized Wisconsinites who have a great deal to contribute to our understanding of censorship, discrimination, and freedom of speech and expression. As the Committee on Colleges and Universities continues to discuss issues of intellectual diversity and freedom of speech and expression on college campuses throughout Wisconsin, I hope we in the legislature have the courage to commit to and listen to the voices of those with whom we disagree. We need to lead by example, explained Emerson, who argued, if we are going to have a real discussion about this issue, we need to include the student senate, current professors and staff. Wisconsin has an incredible shared governance model that needs to be reflected in these hearings. Unlike the Republicans who ran the show in Eau Claire, Smith and Emerson take free speech issues seriously. They recognize the importance of open and honest discussion about whether Wisconsin campuses respect a wide range of views and encourage robust debate. They also recognize the political games that the Republicans are playing.
Here's a quote in conclusion, Dom. I've heard some of my GOP colleagues complain that campuses are too far left, Emerson said, but they only have themselves to blame. We're losing ground on college campuses. It's not indoctrination, but the Republican agenda that turns off many young people. Students want clean water, access to reproductive health care, and a learning environment free from gun violence. The Republican Party is not supplying that for students. The devils will come back.
As a veteran of our country's armed services, you may be experiencing hardships, but we are clear in our mission. No Wisconsin veteran should ever have to face homelessness or lose heat, power, or water again. Apply today by calling 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Visit VRAPWI.com.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, Every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows dip down to about 40 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow, 51. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow night, 37. Chance for scattered showers Sunday with a chance for mixed precipitation Monday. Highs in the mid-40s.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Your calls welcome. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I asked, best concert you ever attended? You know, your own criterion of what made it the best. And Janet has called in. Janet, welcome. What was your favorite concert?
Hey, Janet.
Oh, hi.
What was your favorite concert, Janet?
Jefferson Airplane.
What year are we talking?
Oh, we're talking mid-60s.
And what made it? The fact that you still remember went to a Jefferson Airplane concert is awesome, but what made this one so memorable?
It was one of my first concerts, and I still love Grace Slick.
Yeah, Grace Slick, the original lineup, Janet. That is a classic.
Oh, that was. That was. And I can't remember who came on for them. It was something Jets that got famous afterwards.
What happened when they became Jefferson Starship, though? And they built that city on rock and roll. What happened to that band, Janet?
I liked them still. In fact, I saw them once again when they were Jefferson, when they weren't Airplane. But it's not the same. It's not the same. That first album they came out with was fantastic.
Yeah.
Sister, I'm glad you still remember it. You got a little echo going on with your phone, Janet. Otherwise, we'd talk a little longer. Next time we'll talk a little longer.
Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, and then they eventually, I believe, they just became Starship. But I don't know, Grace Slick, was she even in the other version of it?
She was part of Jefferson Starship, at least briefly. Okay. I remember her in the MTV, you know, it got bad when they became Starship and they started playing on MTV. And they played that We Built This City on Rock and Roll, like that was the anthem of the summer of 1984 or something. Every summer's got a song. That summer, sadly, and the local radio stations here in the Madison area, it was We Built This City on Rock and Roll. The other song, I got to tell you, I worked construction one summer, and you apparently were working on a farm. I was sweating my ass off working construction on commercial buildings here in Madison. And I wasn't good at it, and, you know, I'm still not a very hard worker. No calluses, I might point out. But that summer...
Soft, smooth hands, Curdy.
You know, they'd have the radio on at the job site. They used to listen to the classic rock station here in town. And Grateful Dead, Touch of Grey, they would play that song every freaking hour. It's like, you know, I'm like, you're not in top 40, and it's not that... great a Dead song, really, all things considered. It's one of their worst. And I used to mark the time every hour as I heard Touch of Grey. And it used to be like a baton death march to Friday at 5 o'clock or whatever time we quit on Fridays. Oh, that was the worst. I would rather, and I have said this, I would rather go back to boot camp then work construction for my stepdad another summer in the state of Wisconsin.
Touch of Grey was 1987. That was a big deal because they released a video. That was a, you know, like a Grateful Dead video. That was a
summer
cutting edge.
Summer before my senior year in high school. And I was in good shape, man. You know, I was ready for football. I was in good shape. And I got to tell you, I was not in construction worker shape. And it was a hot ass summer. If you look, early in the summer, it was in the 90s, like for a whole month. I got so sunburned right on... You know, like you wear the belt with the tools. I never wore a belt with the tools. And my first day on the job site, you know, I didn't wear a shirt because they're all taking off their shirts by 9 a.m. I got my shirt off. Well, that belt pulls down your pants, right? And that top of your butt that's never seen the light of the day. I got sunburned right there.
Your tramp stamp got sunburned?
Oh, terribly. And that leather pouch, that belt rubbed on it the whole rest of the summer. Man,
oh, man, come on. It's terrible.
Oh, Ricky. The summer of Crudy's misery. And I, you know, the only good news about working that summer, A, no concerts, no fun at all. Because I was so tired, I'd go home and I'd go to bed like on Friday night. And I wouldn't get up till like noon on Saturday. And it totally screwed me up for the next work week. But I didn't even care. Just that sweet sleep. It's like a teenager needed it. I still need sleep. Maybe tonight. 844. You know, after I get a good buzz on a Blues Traveler. I hope it's my favorite concert ever, Dom.
Yeah, I doubt it, but it should be fun.
844-967-2789. Carol from Madison. Be the best caller ever, Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Well, I got a tie. I saw Harry Chapin in an old vaudeville theater in Chicago in 1980. And for one of his songs, he just stood on the front of the stage and sang. And you could hear it just like he was standing next to you.
Wow.
And then in Kansas City at Starlight Theater, which was an outdoor venue, I saw Tina Turner.
Ooh, that girl rocked, didn't she?
Oh, in 1988, and it was just phenomenal.
I remember, didn't she do a pairing at Live Aid with Mick Jagger or something? Didn't they do Proud Mary at Live Aid?
I think so. She just is... There is nothing like Tina Turner in concert. And I saw a ton of concerts when I lived in Kansas City, but, man, she rocked.
Carol, you rock, man. Thanks for listening to the Devil's Advocates. Got any big weekend plans?
Not at this point, no.
Well, Carol, keep it tuned right here. We're giving away some Brewers tickets for Saturday night. It's not quite a concert, but it could be a good time. Live event, the Brewers are a good team as well. And if you don't have tickets, you can listen on WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM. Dom, we got a pair for Saturday night. Angels in town. You're not a fan, are you? I can tell.
You're holding out for the Brewers. Oh, man, yeah. I'll hit a couple Brewer games up this year, man. It's always a good party.
You know, maybe I had tickets for you until I heard that bad attitude.
So much going on, man. Love the summertime here in Wisconsin. Stick around, 844-967-2789. Hell, Tina Turner, she's 83 years old. She could run for president. Folks, we'll be right back.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief, a three-day waiting period and a higher legal age for buying guns are among the new gun laws just signed by Colorado's Democratic Governor Jared Polis.
Because Coloradans deserve to be safe in our communities, in our schools, in our grocery stores, nightclubs, everywhere in between.
A new Fed report spells out reasons for the Silicon Valley Bank failure. Among them, says CBS's Sarah Ewall Weiss.
Shifting policy also resulted in lower supervision and requirements. The report says officials need to
improve the speed and force of supervision, as well as revisit the regulatory framework.
The Biden administration hopes to reduce immigration problems with processing centers in Latin America, while expanding legal pathways and increasing deportations. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
We want to fix this, but we know that some folks in Congress do not. They rather do political stunts, but we're taking this very seriously.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A former Wisconsin prosecutor is found guilty of making sex tapes with women without their knowing. One-time Burnett County Assistant DA Daniel Steffen is convicted on 3 charges. One of the victims was a woman he was prosecuting at the time. Steffen could go to prison for 10 years. Communities around Wisconsin could see their shared revenue go up by 10%. That's under a new plan unveiled by Republican lawmakers. Emily McFarland is the mayor of Watertown. She says they could use the boost.
One that I will never forget is the year that we considered shutting off every other streetlight in the city of Watertown to save $250,000.
There'll be more details next week. In sports, Iowa linebacker Lucas Van Ness is the Packers' first pick in the NFL draft. The Brewers host the Angels tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now, or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to IUPATDC7.com.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You made it to Friday. I'm excited. I can tell Dom's excited. He lives for Fridays. Mondays,
weekend, maybe.
Mondays, not so much.
It's been a long week with us here this week, Rudy, so I look forward to next week.
I've been
week.
Back for 2 days, man.
Back together. I know, but, you know, it's just, and then catching up from being gone last week, it's been a lot. But I'm happy it's here. It's Friday. It's a nice day here in Wisconsin in the Midwest, and summertime's coming, and the concerts will start.
Tell us your favorite concert. For whatever random criterion you set for a really damn good show, but I've been to a couple of good shows this month, and I think the best one I ever went to was with you, Dom. We've been to Red Hot Chili Peppers a couple times. But with Foo Fighters opening, man, that was probably the best concert. Most memorable. And I think the lightning storm probably, you know, made it memorable No encore, though, sadly, with the electricity in the air.
It was pretty scary. I mean, that lightning storm, I think we're at the, what, at the Summerfest grounds at the amphitheater in Milwaukee for that show. And we had good seats, so we were covered, you know. And you look back, and the sky was just lit up nonstop with lightning just cracking across the sky. It was quite a sight to behold. And, of course, and then you look in front of you, you see this awesome, classic, great rock and roll. And behind you, this wild storm, the crowd's going. It was just so much fun.
It was fun. I had fun in Minnesota at the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert Easter weekend. But I had more fun hanging out with you and that crazy crew. And the Minnesota Stadium is not the same as the amphitheater.
Not an intimate setting.
No, in seat number 70,000 back in the third deck. I mean, thank you, hon, but still. I got a little bit of a nosebleed, and the heights scare me, Dom. I got a couple of headlines, and we'll get some callers. We'll get to you, 844-967-2789. Your Friday grievances, welcome here. But Dom, I got another one from our backyard. A Wisconsin teacher made anti-Asian slurs just part of the fun environment in his classroom.
Oh, no.
Just having funsies, Dom. That according to the school district. Now, when our home state makes it all the way to the raw story, Dom, it's going to be reported here.
It's usually not great. You know, it's usually something to do with Ron Johnson or some terrible activity by someone in the state.
You know, we got some Ron Johnson from earlier in the week. Put a note, pin that, Dom. Let's not forget about Ron.
I got it.
Let's get to this grievance first. A Wisconsin teacher is back in the classroom despite making anti-Asian slurs in the classroom. Robert Perkins, a band teacher at Wausau East High School, and we play out there on WXEO. They're listening right now, Dom. Bull Falls Radio. But Wausau East High School band teacher Robert Perkins, and this guy, I did look at the picture, Dom, and other coverage from the local TV station. He looks like he looks like a big old redneck. He was reinstated following an investigation by the school district, which found that all students report that Mr. Perkins uses humor to engage students and create a fun environment. He's fun, Dom. Despite corroborating statements confirming Mr. Perkins' use of anti-Asian racist slurs, such as, and I'm quoting the alleged statements, such as chink and ching chong, as well as statements from other witnesses that Mr. Perkins' conduct caused unease among students from protected classes, the Wausau School District investigator still found no grounds for termination of harassment with an open letter signed by Asian American parents. The school is about 81% white, but has a large Hmong Leo population, and one parent said his son has been so upset by the teacher's conduct, he hasn't been to school in 2 weeks. When I saw it on my son's eyes that he was crying on the floor, it broke my heart that a grown man can do this to my son, said parent Thaw Vang Bhakti. Be careful how you say that one, Dom. The district superintendent agreed that Perkins had acted unprofessionally. Well, I've been accused occasionally, Dom, of acting unprofessionally, but found no reason to let him go. While a preponderance of evidence shows that Mr. Perkins did not engage in harassing or discriminatory behavior, he did engage in insensitive and unprofessional conduct, wrote the district superintendent in a letter. Witnesses indicate he did use language that could be insensitive to students of different protected classes, including race and sex, but that language does not rise to the level of discrimination or harassment. Investigated ourselves and decided we did no serious wrong. Now, Dom, I did see in other coverage, not at the Raw story, not that Travis Getty, you know, he's looking in from afar. He's not here in flyover country, as they sometimes accused us as living in, Dom. The superintendent, in a statement made to the local television station, effectively said, you know, some things are bad, but you know, if we can just learn from these mistakes. You know, hate to fire a dude. Can you just make it a learning, a teaching moment?
Well, I mean, certainly that's always, I mean, yes, every activity, everything is a learning experience if you are, you know, so inclined. Or you could just ignore it all and assume it's all going to be fine. The Daily Beast also has a story on this. The letter that the Asian American leaders signed, this open letter, of course, we read a little bit of it. Here's what else they say. This decision, you know, not to let this guy go or have any sort of consequence. This decision sends a strong message that using racist, sexist, and homophobic slurs are permissible so long as they're made in good faith. And that is just acceptable to us. Good faith. Oh, I was saying in good faith. I was just having a fun environment. I mean,
if
it was
you were offended, Dom.
If you were just, you know, lighting up the N-word up in Wausau, would that, you know, doing it joyfully and jovially, would that be acceptable? I mean, come on, people. This is embarrassing.
What should have been the consequence, Dom? You think this guy should have been fired? First offense, strike one, you're out?
I don't know. Is it first offense? It sounds like just kind of a history of this.
Well, you clearly
know,
it's not.
And it goes beyond just, you know, the racism. It goes on to the homophobic as well and sexist. So, no, it seems like there's more than one issue.
Okay, so he's made a multitude of sins. Can he ask forgiveness? Although, according to the parents and other reporting, he didn't actually ask anyone's forgiveness. He hasn't actually rescinded any of his racist or homophobic statements, according to the local press. Is an apology warranted? Could we start there? I mean, apologies are cheap if there's no sincerity behind an apology. Keep it, right? Don't even bother. But that seems like at least a, you know, I mean, didn't you at least have to apologize to your brother for punching him or something?
Some sort of consequence? Because what is the consequence? Really? I mean, we're talking about this teacher, but other than that, what's the consequence?
Well, hopefully he's learned a valuable lesson through his lack of severe consequence and
possible loss of employment. This open letter from these locals say, does that just not encourage other folks to do the same thing so long as, you know, they're just joyful about it? Engage in joyful racism and jovial sexism. That's okay. As long as you're laughing about it, it should be totally
fine. Keeps it light in the classroom, Dom.
Come on.
Now, you know, I've said some offensive things. I'd like to think I don't say racist things or misogynist things or homophobic things, but certainly, Dom, you know I've been accused of saying some inappropriate things.
Sure.
I like doing that. I do that in a jovial fashion, or at least I make me laugh. You know what I mean? I'm trying to have a good time. I'm trying to be funny here. But sometimes, in the 12 years we've been doing this on the radio, and the hundreds and thousands of bar occasions where we've sat on a bar stool together, I've occasionally let something slip that others have been offended by, Dom.
Sure, sure.
Should I have been fired from my job? Is that
instructing children in a professional?
Oh God, no! Who would trust me with their children?
We're not talking about, you know, jawboning at the bar, man. We're talking about an instructor in a music class in Wausau, Wisconsin, where there's a big Hmong population, Laotian population, and this is how they refer to a big chunk of that of their students. That's totally inappropriate. I mean, it would be inappropriate in a bar as well, but you shouldn't get fired over it. But if you're in the classroom, I don't know, man. Yes, there should be some consequence to it.
Now, aren't all musical classes elective at this point? I mean, you opted into that class. Doesn't the student have a little culpability for making the mistake of being there?
Supposed to be a little more forgiving along these lines, you know what I'm saying? A little more inclusive.
It is Wausau. If you're listening to us on WXEO, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM 14. Let me think for a second. I believe it's 1450 AM, Dom. No, it's not. 1230 AM. If you're listening on any variation on the AM dial from Wausau right now, 844-967-2789. Love to hear from you. Does this bother you? Would it bother you more if it were an academic class? Maybe it's because I don't, you know, I like going to the concerts now, but I don't play the music. I played the trumpet in eighth grade.
I think it doesn't matter what they're teaching. The subject matter is irrelevant, be it math or physics or English, or if you're in music, it does not
matter. My music teacher was profane, and I liked that about him.
I have less profane. I'm profane. I love using the swear
You're
word.
You're constantly profane.
I am. This whole FCC thing really kind of puts it in perspective.
Style.
I gotta dig for new words. So no profanity. I have no problem with.
What if it's profanity in the classroom
and the racism and the sexism? That becomes a little bit of an issue. And again, this is an instructor, a teacher in front of these students, and many of these students are Asian. A little bit more from the Daily Beast. The school district's letter, which summarized its internal investigation into a student complaint about Perkins, said that, quote, all students report that Mr. Perkins uses humor to engage students and create a fun environment. The letter went on to say, somewhat confusingly, the Daily Beast points out, that while Perkins does say things that cause students unease, the students who believe he creates a safe space, quote unquote, and does not mean to harm anyone. The student who complained told the investigator he believes Perkins knows what he's doing and that students will cover for him because they like him. At a school board meeting last week, several students spoke out in support of Perkins, who was named Teacher of the Month in January, and urged the district to reinstate him. Perkins has not publicly commented on the situation. The father of the boy who complained that his son was so upset had not been to school for 2 weeks, and we talked about that from the other piece.
Can both be true? Can the guy be a homophobic, racist jokester and also be a fan favorite amongst some of the kids up there? I suspect.
Sure.
Both.
I mean, sure. If you're a homophobic, racist kid, you probably think that's some pretty funny stuff. But if you're the subject of the insults, if you're the subject of, pardon, the chink insults, you know, I think that might be a different perspective. And that's, of course, the problem. You got to put yourself in these situations, man. So, no, just because other folks find the sexism and the homophobe and the racist funny doesn't mean that it's appropriate or proper.
I feel like you make a lot of big guy jokes about me, though, like big head, big melon.
Well, yeah, and you make a lot of short jokes about me. I mean, but see, friends can do that. We can get away with it. But that's not even, you know, you don't have to be fat, Crudy. You could go on a diet. See, I can't grow. You know what I mean? I can't get any taller. Jokes allowed. Tall and short jokes not allowed. So we can't change those things.
Wait, how does that favor you and make me the butt of fact joke somehow? I may resemble that remark, but it still hurts a little.
Yeah. But I'm saying it with joy and laughter in my heart. So it's okay if you're in Wausau.
I laugh about most of the inappropriate things you say. Doesn't make it right.
No, funny is funny, but racism is racism.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, more of your phone calls. Friday Grievance. Aram here. Rojo, we got to get to him. He's next.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to MobcraftBeer.com.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from Main Street across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 40. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High of 51. Cloudy tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Low is dipped down to about 37. Chance for scattered showers Sunday, with a chance for mixed precipitation Monday. Highs in the mid-40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Musical interlude in the last segment, but PT, you're first. Be patient. I got to get out this Rojo stuff.
Oh, yes, yes.
We've been trying to get to it for a couple of days at least. Here is what Ron Johnson said in a Senate hearing. The senior senator from the great state of Wisconsin, climate change denier, former frequent guest on this program. It's been a while. There was the before the January 6th and the never since the January 6th. But anyways, we got that sound ready for the people, Ebone. Let's play it for them. U.S.
I actually found that chart of yours somewhat comforting for at least America. When you take a look at the mortality risk, again, these are all projections. I don't put any stock in them whatsoever. In terms of excess deaths, a warming globe is actually beneficial. In my own state, your study shows that we'd have a reduction in mortality of somewhere between 54 and 56 people per, I guess it's 100,000. Why wouldn't we take comfort in that?
So thanks for the question, Senator Johnson. And what the work shows and the chart is that the effects of climate change are going to be very unequal. And absolutely, Wisconsin, Chicago, where I live, the reduction in cold days, the benefits from that will outweigh the damages from the hot days. But if you look more carefully at that, there's large swatches of the country where the damages will be much larger. And in fact,
if you want to balance it all out globally, if you're trying to mitigate harm globally, isn't it true that the number of deaths, according to this Lancet study, the number of deaths caused by heat are 600,000 per year, deaths caused by cold are 4.5 million annually. In terms of global health, in terms of excess death, we're actually in a better position to prevent death by having the climate increase in temperature a little bit, right?
Senator, I'm not familiar with that study. What I am familiar with is my study. Your characterization of it is incorrect.
Well, your study is very favorable to my state. Our mortality declines by 54 per 100,000.
Wisconsin will benefit in terms of mortality. There are 49 other states in the United States. Many of them will suffer. Many of them will suffer more than Wisconsin will gain. And that is the nature of climate change. It's very unequal.
According to your study, you're concerned if you're in the really hot region of Africa, but in terms of the United States and most of Europe, we're in pretty good shape. We're all blue. We have reduced risk of death.
Attaboy, Ron, way to look for the silver lining in the global catastrophe that could be climate change, you know, but I live in the upper Midwest and I'm a rich white guy, so I'll be okay, right?
I'll be just fine. Is this the first step of Senator Johnson accepting and understanding that climate change is real?
I doubt it. Okay. Here's a different question. Is this the worst argument for climate in action in political history?
Yes.
Philip Pump asked that very question in his headline at the Washington Post. One of the worst arguments against addressing climate change in world history was offered on the floor of the U.S. Senate in 2015. Senator James Inhofe, Republican from Oklahoma, appeared in the chamber holding a snowball. It's very, very cold out, Inhofe argued, tossing the snowball to the sitting Senate president. This despite all the discussion about how 2014 had been the warmest year on record. Of course, it was February at the time, a month when it's often very, very cold. 2015 would go on to be one of the warmest years on record, as would each of the following 7 years. Last winter, you'd have been hard-pressed to conjure up a snowball in D.C. It was a bad argument that somehow has gotten worse over time. But there's some good news for Inhofe's legacy. An argument made by another senator this week probably surpasses the Senate snowball for sheer rhetorical cringeworthiness. Our boy Rojo, Dom, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was interrogating Michael Greenstone, an economics professor from the University of Chicago, at a Senate Budget Committee hearing centered on diagnosing the health cost of climate change. A little bit more. Greenstone was one of a group of more than a dozen researchers who contributed to a 2019 paper titled Valuing the Global Mortality Consequences of Climate Change Accounting for Adaption Cost and Benefits. In essence, the paper attempted to calculate just how deadly increased global warming would prove to be. In prepared testimony, Greenstone explained one especially striking finding, that the damages from climate-induced temperature changes will be unevenly distributed both globally and within the United States. Poorer and hotter places would see more climate-related deaths. It seems that Johnson didn't get that far in the testimony. Instead, he seized upon a map included in both the report and what Greenstone provided to the committee. On these maps, blue areas are expected to see a net decrease in mortality due to climate change. You'll notice that mostly, and you don't have the benefit of the map, people, but trust me, they're mostly in the more northern areas, let's say places like Wisconsin, which is to say colder areas. And that's why a 2015 Lancet study, that's the one that Rojo referenced, found that cold weather is deadlier than warm weather. So cold areas getting a little bit warmer helps decrease cold-related deaths in those places. At the bottom, we've drawn a circle around Johnson's home state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin is cold in the winter. I didn't know that. Did any of you notice? A bit more warmth means a small decrease in deaths in a warmer climate. And that was enough for Rojo. Here's a quote or two. I actually found the chart of yours somewhat comforting for at least America and Wisconsin, right? And Minnesota, where he's originally from. He disparaged the data as projections that he didn't put any stock in, but noted that according to those projections, a warming globe is actually beneficial to my own state. Your study shows we have a reduction in mortality of between 54 and 56 people per, 100,000. Why wouldn't we take comfort in that? Now, we heard the retort to Rojo.
Hey, let me, I'll jump down here, Curtie, the conclusion of this piece. Bump right. So this is just the Western world version of Johnson's Wisconsin will be fine argument. If the effects of climate change won't harm the United States that much, what's the problem? The problem, of course, manifests in a few ways. Most obviously, there's a moral problem. A large percentage of the carbon dioxide emissions that are spurring warming are a function of American fossil fuel consumption, meaning that we bear responsibility for warming's effects. The nations in the really hot region of Africa will suffer as a result is not inherently a good reason for indifference. It's also the case that climate change linked disasters often have ripple effects that impact the United States. One driver of migration from Central America, for example, is climate linked drought that's hampered agriculture, pushing migrants north. But look, Johnson's not particularly persuaded by that. He's barely persuaded by the idea that climate change will cause an increase in deaths in neighboring Iowa, much less Africa. He, like Inhofe, is working with what he's got, even if the result is an argument that is at best weak and at worst awful. Philip Bump, Washington Post. Is this the worst argument for climate inaction in political history? I say yes. Thank you, Senator Ron Johnson.
I think quite possibly you stand alone, Ron, as the most asinine member of the U.S. Senate on the topic of climate change, perhaps ever. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, the happier 5 o'clock happy hour. Woo-hoo! Dom looks happy. You better be as well.
We're all looking for how our state can move forward despite division. Here's something that often gets bipartisan support, and with your help, we'll make Wisconsin more fair and secure. It's fixing the holes in our legal system so laws and justice truly apply to everyone. Did you know that in many cases, you have no right to an attorney? A person experiencing domestic violence, or someone denied rightful health care coverage for an expensive procedure, or a victim of elder abuse, how can they get the protections they're entitled to if they can't afford a lawyer? What they need is civil legal aid. It's powerful legal assistance. It helps people regain control of their lives, and it sometimes gets bipartisan support. But your state legislators need to hear from you right now as they work on the state budget. Google the legislature's homepage, go there, and enter your address under Who Are My Legislators, and call or email them now. Ask them to fund civil legal aid in the Wisconsin budget.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.